Because I got a little time change. Make sure. This one, receive. Receive. What a world secret. What time y'all got church on Sunday? What time on midweek? Receive. What time y'all got church on Sunday? Nine. What time y'all got church on Wednesday? So what time y'all got church? What time y'all got church? Where like? Anybody else anywhere else? Give me that church. Anywhere else? 11:30? 8:30? So nice church times. So what y'all do all the time? I'm just asking the question. What are you doing all the other times? If you got church at 9 on Sunday, and 8 and 6:45, 8:30, 11:30, 8 and all these times that you got church, what you doing all the other time? Now, I asked you that for a reason. I was about to come in and say, when I say church, the first thing that comes to your mind, but I know you're going to give me the right answers because we're in class. But if you be honest, the first thing you think about is building. You think about Sunday. You think about Wednesday or midweek, whenever your midweek is. You think about your dresses and your suits and your ties. You think about praise and worship. You think about tithes and offering. You think about a message. You think about when you're going to the altar. You think about ushering. If you're an usher, you're a greeter, you be a greeter. You think about all those things when you heard church and you missed the essence. God bless every single one of those things. And I think in the grand scheme, it all plays a part. But if you miss the essence of what church is, then all of those things will be in vain. Now, the Bible says something in 1 Corinthians 13, you'll turn that. And matter of fact, you don't need to write it down. And like, there's not really no big deal right now. It's a big deal, but I'm talking about it. You know, the 1 Corinthians 13, they call it the love chapter. And it says, you can do a lot of different things and have not love, and it don't mean anything. And a man goes as far as say you can give your body to be burned, like a sacrifice. And the reason it said that for a reason, because that's how sacrifices were given in the Old Testament. You used to have to burn them. It wasn't just cutting them and bleeding them and killing them. You had to burn. You give your body to be burned, but have not charity, have not love, it counts nothing. And it tells me something about a concept. That means that I can be doing a bunch of things and still not catch the essence of the truth of something. That means I can actually jump all the hurdles and clear them all. Jump through all the hoops and do them great. Perfect attendance. Have the best suit on. Have the best dress on. Be there all the time. Be at every prayer meeting. Be at all those things. And still, you mean to tell me I can still miss the essence of what's going on? And the answer is yes. Nice quick question about what time you got church on Sunday, because I'm trying to kill that concept. I'm not saying forget what time service starts, right? But I need you to not. I learned that over years, there were a lot of things that were lost in translation, so we begin to translate from a lost place. We begin to give understanding from a lost. Jesus talked about seek and save that which is lost. Y'all thought that was heathens and sinners, but sometimes it's you. Sometimes it's us, because we're lost in our motion of what we're really supposed to be doing. Sometimes we get lost in the motion. We get lost in the normal flow. Majority of things we do in church are man-made. And God bless them. And they have their place. But majority of things we do in church, a lot of them don't have nothing to do with Jesus. What y'all want? Y'all want to wrap up? What y'all want to do? Y'all want to go to the car right now? What y'all want to do? Let's be honest. I found out that what Paul had a revelation of Jesus. He had a greater revelation of Jesus than some of the disciples that walked with Jesus. If you ever do some reading and understand, he really had a revelation of giving himself to be burned, giving his life for, forgetting everything else. And putting himself on the line just like Jesus. He had a strong revelation of it. Never walked with Jesus, but he had experience with Jesus. Remember on the road to Damascus, remember that? I knocked out the beast. But even Paul, and I noticed some things, just reading. If you just read your scripture sometime and stop being so religious. All right, stop looking for so many principles and look for yourself. All right, stop looking for so many instructions and let there be some instruction, like some in-construction inside of you. Okay? And if you do some reading, I notice and I wonder, and I see Paul and Paul begin to preach. You know, when you start hearing about Paul, after the book of Acts, you hear no more Acts. Well, read your Bible. After the book of Acts, there are no, you're not reading about any more Acts. Acts like things happen. You don't hear nothing about such and such getting healed or nobody else is getting, you don't hear about those things. Now you're hearing letters to the churches. And Paul, and God bless Paul, was trying to get everyone to understand a revelation of Jesus. Because this stands, not of the book and not of the law, but of Jesus. Remember, Jesus said, I didn't come to do away with the law, I came to fulfill it. In other words, I came to show you how it lives. The word was made flesh and dwelt among us, all scripture, right? So now Paul was endeavoring to get a large body of people to understand the same thing. So now we become step one, step two, step three, step four, step five, step six. And do this like this, and do this like this, and do that like that, and meet over here, and do this like this, and get on this knee on this day, and get on that knee the other day, and it becomes a whole new law. And then now we're back on to the thing that we were on before when Jesus came to show us how to live it. I want you to pay attention to Jesus for a minute. And Jesus quoted from the book, from their scrolls. He opened the scrolls and quoted from Luke 4:18, Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he anointed me to preach the gospel and all that, right? That's a scroll. He said, what's the greatest commandment in the law? Right? What's the greatest commandment? Love the Lord God all your, that's it. He didn't come up with that. Jesus didn't come up with that. Like, oh, he deep. No, that's Deuteronomy 6. Deuteronomy said that. All right, but the second one, it was a one up. When Jesus came, I got to go here. I don't know. When Jesus came, I'm going to show you something. It's in your scripture. When Jesus came, he came walking. John the Baptist had to baptize. Now I found some cool out. Living by the book. Y'all want to hear some cool out? Found out? Oh, they were baptizing, I think, in the River Jordan, right? And I found out that one of the main reasons they were baptizing the River Jordan, because Jordan was one of the places that the children of Israel had to cross over to go into freedom. Wow. Right? And so I did some research. I followed some different things. I just pay attention. So now it was a significant place. So baptism was almost like going back through the water to your freedom. You get them? We've become ritualized. Yeah. When reading the Word of God and when studying the Word of God, and it's always going to be this way. Remember that this Bible and this book was written hundreds of years before you was here. Thousands of years. All right? So a total different custom. Total different understanding. And sometimes you begin to do the things that they do and don't know why they were doing them. Right. Today we do. Right. You begin to partake in some of the actions and then you wonder, well, why there's no power? Are you understanding me? And so Jesus comes and he gets baptized, John the Baptist. And John had been preaching before Jesus got there. And John said, they got a new king coming. But they've been talking about it. It's got to be some 30-something years now. And I don't know when John started preaching, but he'd been out there for a little minute because they already called him a wild man. He said, he out there eating locusts. He's a wild man, hairy man. He's crazy, eating locusts and honey. What's wrong with this man? All right, so I know he had been preaching for a little while and probably some truth. So John said he's going to purge the flow with him. When he get here, he's going to get all y'all together. And all these things that's gone wrong in the Roman Empire, he's going to break it all down. He's going to be a new king. We'll have a new kingdom. He's going to flip this thing upside down. Now you can have your concept of how that's going to go. You can have your concept of how that's going to be. And just from hearing that, you can make up your own ways that you think that's going to happen. First, some of us think war. Some of us think just battle, or an angel gonna call angels and start killing everybody. Nope, we don't figure out your ways, right? So now Jesus comes walking, he said, baptize. John said, no, you need to baptize. He said, no, that is written, it's supposed to be done this way, so let me do it. John baptized and come up, sky open, right? This is my beloved son, this is the son that I love. This is my son. All right, and I remember whenever we don't speak like this now because things are lost in translation. And we lose the essence of what true words really mean. But whenever somebody said they were a son, they called them equal. Remember another verse in the gospel, they said they were upset with Jesus because he called himself the Son of God, making himself equal with God. They couldn't handle that. So now whenever you see the word, remember equality. Can we do that? So whenever you see the word son, remember equality. So now here's my loved equal. In whom I'm well pleased. Now mind you, I don't really know what Jesus did before that. But he said, I am well pleased with an E-D. Are y'all with me? Yes, sir. My beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. You see the sky over everything, and the spirit come on like a dove. It wasn't a real dove landed on him. Go read the scripture. It says, as of a dove, or like a dove. I know we like to say the dove is the symbol or the figurehead of the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit does not look like a dove. Don't know. He might look like a dove, but I know it says like as a dove. Like a dove would land on your shoulder. Yeah, they were trying to say how it came down. Before you go on, start talking about we waiting for the doves. I'm just reading my Bible. You take time, slow down, read your Bible, you get some things. And then Jesus begins to talk. And he begins to preach. And so, okay, this is game time, y'all. This is what we've been practicing for. This is what we've been preparing for. And we've been hearing them talk about this king all these years and all these scrolls. They've been talking about him since Moses' days. Talking about this new king. Is this the one? Okay, uh-oh, he here now. And John the Baptist knew already because he first comes. He the one that flipped over in the belly. Right? Y'all know the little story, right? He leaped in the belly. Leap. All right, so he ready. He turned already. So now he's been preparing the way. He knew what his call was. And so everybody sees it. Everybody knows it. Everybody sees what's going on. And then Jesus come out that water. And just start ministering to them. But what he was saying wasn't quite what they wanted to be said. You know, Jesus started saying, he started talking about turning the cheek. No. We got to take this kingdom over. What do you mean, let him hit me again? What do you mean if they ask me to go a mile with them, go two? So John's sitting over there like, boy, I might be off. Listen to me. And so the understanding, everybody say understanding. Saying all that getting. Saying all my getting. Say it again, saying all my getting. I must get understanding. Let me interject this before I finish telling the rest of what's going on. Church is not a place, right? Or it's not a thing to attend. It's an understanding. And if we put it together with the scripture, I'm going to pray in tongues just now. If we put it together with the scriptures, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. So if I can catch the understanding, I can be the church. Now, you already are the church. Listen to what I'm trying to tell you. You already are ordained to be the church, but you cannot function as the church until you get the understanding. See, church is a concept. You get it? It's much bigger than some brick and mortar. Because those are going to go away. Are y'all with me? Yes, if you with me, say amen.
Amen.
So here we are. So now church is understanding. It's a whole life, mind, concept change about how you function, who you are and how you function. It is no longer a set of laws, all rituals, all rules, all those things are cool when you're a baby. Right? But it's not relegated to those things. It's a lifestyle. Church is a lifestyle. All right, now I'll ask you the question at the beginning, what time church started, remember? Because I'm trying to break it. I'm trying to break your concept. All right, I'm just trying to help you, all right? I got to break mine too, because I probably would have sat up here and somebody would have got me too. At 9 o'clock, press started at 8:15. I'd have been, you know what I'm saying? I'm trying to break the concept. I understand what we mean. I understand when you tell somebody, you know, I got church on Sunday at 9, but I'm still trying to break the concept. Because let me go back. There's so many things lost in translation because people said things a certain way. And they begin to continue to say things a certain way. And then through the years, everything was lost. Yeah. You ever played that little game? I forgot what they call it. Telephone, right? Yeah. Where you whisper to somebody ear, and then you whisper and then you go on. By the time you get to the back, it's something totally different from what you said. Right. That's happened in the Bible. And so it takes us totally off somewhere. We begin to function certain ways and do certain things when that wasn't the original intent. It wasn't always meant to be that way. And God honors it. Grace and mercy. Thank God for grace and mercy. God will have grace and mercy and honor you trying to do the right thing. But it's good, acceptable, and it is. Right? Perfect will of God. They're not separate things. They're levels to perfection. 34, 64, 100-fold are levels to 100-fold. At the end of the day, you should be doing 100-fold. And it's not just receiving 100-fold. You should be 100-fold. Are y'all understanding me? So now, here's Jesus again, and Jesus began to say these things. And the concept is not quite what they thought it was going to be. It's not quite the way that they thought it was going to function. And so they began to, you know, they thought, you know, Jesus was about to come and all the priests was about to be the top dogs in the city. Nah, because our new king came, so he definitely going to make me a warden. Or he going to make me a lord over these cities. Because it's time to take over now. But the concept was different. They had a problem with Jesus' concept because Jesus' concept wasn't for the few, but it was for the many. Jesus came to bring power for everybody. Who's God's people? Who did he create? Come on, come on, come on, come on. Come on, come on. Who? Where does every spirit come from? There's not a living being that's alive right now that didn't come from the Spirit of God. There's not a living being that's alive right now that don't have the Spirit of God. They may be influenced by other things, as we have been before. Amen. I can hear you. Amen. Okay. 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 So I just want to make sure we're not up here talking about what they doing, what we don't do right here, right? We don't want to go over there, right? We don't want to start counting yours and mine. We don't want to do that, huh? How can you? Y'all don't want to do that, huh? Okay, I just want to make sure we don't want to do that because we count theirs, we got to count ours too. So, Jesus starts saying, it's for everybody. Well, you know, when you start saying that it's for 33, when you start saying it's for everybody, you know, somebody's feel like they're losing power. You know, you've been having to come to me for your answer, right? Here's what I can do. Here's what I can do. Let me show you. Remember Jesus went over and flipped over tables? I'm going to show you church. I'm just talking about church, all right? It's all scripture. Remember Jesus started flipping over tables? Let me make you understand why they were flipping over tables. Just do a little history and just do a little reading. A little history. The priests were in cahoots with the politics. You know, church and state? Then we get separated from church and state to years after all that. But they were in cahoots. And the politics, the Roman government came in and tried to take over the land. The children of Israel land, but they came in with their armies and everything and all their money and took over the land. So now they're trying to maintain power. They don't want any riots. So they get in cahoots with the priests, and the priests tell people to calm down. God said, calm down. You get me? So now church and state, everybody getting their coffers filled. Everybody getting more money. Everything is okay. They're paying their tithes and their taxes. Listen to what I'm trying to tell you. They're paying their money for the sacrifices, and they're getting collected taxes from the Roman government. So they're all okay. Jesus went in to flip over. You have any concept why Jesus went over and flip over the table in the temple? Make sure you went to flip over the table in the temple because they were undershooting the people that were coming here for Passover. Everybody had to come in time for Passover, and it's amazing how it worked. That they had to buy the animal to sacrifice it from the priest and then sacrifice it to the priest. And then the priest had to say whether the sacrifice was good enough or not. And if it wasn't good enough, you had to go back and get another one. Well, that's like insider trading. That's like a conflict of interest. So Jesus sees this going on and said, no, I'm not going to have it. You turn my temple to a den of thieves. And then not only did it do that, but when it was time to make the walk, right, to the Holy Land, they begin to mess up the value of the currency. So they shot down the value of what the currency was so that they had to pay more for the sacrifices. Are y'all understanding me now? So now we don't see Jesus, a wild man, flipping over in the church because people selling stuff. No, it's not about that. It's about how they were misusing the people. See, Jesus' concept was different. Concept. Church is a concept. See, the concept, the understanding, the beliefs, the belief system is a different thing. Are y'all getting me? So now when Jesus comes along and gives this concept, they're not really with it. I mean, even John. You didn't hear no more about John. Did you say, and John followed Jesus for the rest of his days? You didn't hear that. Next time we hear about John, John went out preaching his same message. Jesus is always a one-upper. He's always like, oh, you think you're doing good? And he wasn't trying to play you. He's like, you pray the hour? Can you do 24? You something like he's doing like he one-up you because, and the reason he's one-up, Will, this is one-up, because he's one-up you, because he's keep on trying to one-up until he can get everything. See, the concept of Christ is all. I woke up yesterday morning and I wrote this down in my phone and said, Christ demands complete life change. Total. You can't pick the parts that you want. Come on, church, concept, church. Huh? Come on, church, concept. We have to take, all right, take the concept. You ready? We have to take the concept. Here's a problem with scripture, with the Bible. Here's why you can quote scriptures and not get nothing from them. Have you ever quoted scriptures and not get nothing from them? I can hear you. Come on, be honest with me. Have you ever quoted scriptures and didn't get nothing? I'm talking about not an ounce of anointing from it, but you was quoting it, right? Here's the reason why you can quote scriptures and the scripture can sound powerful and it can be right up on the line of what you need, but you can quote it and don't get power because you're separated from personality. You're separated from reality. You were trying to send the word. You were trying to send the word, but you weren't sending the word. Yes. See, when you send the word, you got to send you. Yes, sir. You can't send the word without you. Yes, sir. See, when he said, my word will not return to me void, he's talking about you. But you're going to accomplish everything that I sent you for to do on this earth. The day that you were, say the day that you were born. God dog it. Say the day that you were born. Say it. Say the date. Come on, say the date and the year. Go. Say it right now. Come on, say it. That moment when you broke out into this atmosphere, there was something that was allotted for you to do at that moment up until now, and you were ready to do it when you got here. Yeah, your little bones were a little weak for a little while. You had to figure out how to walk a little bit. All that's cool. But there was something ordained from that time up until now, and it's still ordained for you to do. But we cannot let the traditions of men and religion derail us from who we really are. We become weak. We become just like the Sadducees and the Pharisees. We quote a lot, but don't quote a lot. You get it? Like we saying a lot of stuff, but we ain't moving nothing. I'm tired. Come on, I'm tired. Say it. I'm tired of saying a bunch of stuff and not getting what I'm saying. He gonna tell me I can speak to a mountain and it'll move? Well, let's go then. Are y'all understanding me? He's telling me I can bind things on earth and they're going to be bound in heaven. You know, do you realize what kind of power they've given you? But we relegate to what's normal. And we're afraid to be a little. I don't want them to look at me. But you still ordained. You still what Mordecai told Esther. Let's say I ain't want to go in there. I don't want to go in there because if I go in there and he don't like what I say, they're going to kill me. He said, how you know you wasn't born for such a time as this? What you doing with your time? What are we doing? Church. What are we doing? Come on, church. What are we doing? Are y'all understanding me? So now there's an ordained and there's a divine appointment. You don't need no all. You don't need a title. You don't. You've already been titled. Christ.
Right.
I dub you Christ.
Right.
That what you want? Cool. That what you want? You need go ahead. Right, cool. Like I mean, but at the end of the day, you already got it. Say I already got it. Come on, say I already got it. Come on, say I already got it.
Already got it.
But it's the concept. So the reason that, thank you, Holy Spirit, the reason that we can say scriptures, right, and we not get what the scripture says, we can say scripture but not get what it says,
right,
yeah. Is because there's not a, y'all catch on what I'm saying, there's not a live being saying it. You getting it? You're repeating it, you're quoting something. But you're not saying it.
Yeah. I get it. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So you haven't thrown yourself off the bridge with it. You know what I'm saying? You want to throw the word. Man, don't come back to me void. Y'all getting me? Instead of taking a run and jumping out there with the word. Faith. With just a little by. It ain't faith if you ain't got to do nothing that you ain't hope. It ain't faith if you ain't got, if you're hoping for it and you can't see it and you jump, that's faith. Now is, when is it? Oh, so right now. So not later, not God's timing. No. Right. When is it?
Now,
faith is the substance of things and the evidence of things, which means your jumping off the cliff is evidence. It's not really when that happens.
Oh, come on, sir.
The evidence is really when you jump.
Right.
See, the evidence wasn't that he got up. It's when he died. It didn't say no greater love than this that a man would resurrect for his friends. It said no greater love than this that a man would lay down his life.
Yeah.
See, we miss it. We think that back end stuff is what we shout about, but you shout when you're going through.
Right.
You get it, you shout when it don't look good.
Right.
You get it?
Yes,
you shout in the challenge. Y'all understanding me now? I'm not. Y'all get what I'm saying?
Yes,
so now the concept. Everybody say concept. Come on, say concept. No, we're not relegating church to a time on Sunday or Wednesday or whatever other day we do it, a Monday or Tuesday, or when we got a conference, or when we got a revival, or when we got a meeting. But church is now, right? Right? Like
right.
I am. Okay. But we begin to try to do church things, but we don't want to be that.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We're trying so hard. I understand. We do good, don't we? Huh? We even signed up for ministry school. Look at us. And then we this second year, right? We've been coming for a whole year and a half now. Like, whoa, about to get Christmas break and we almost there. Right? So we dedicated. I get to understand. But now let's one up it. You say you've been going to ministry school for a year and a half. I say jump off the cliff. Don't jump off the cliff. Y'all see. Cameraman, I just put the camera on me close. Not saying go jump off a cliff, my disclaimer, but you understand my figurative language, right? I just want to make sure y'all understand me. Don't nobody go back and tell nobody that I told them to go jump off a cliff. So now there's things lost in translation, Matthew 16, and we've been reading this, but there's things lost in translation that we miss. So now if we see church as a concept now, if we see it as a belief system, if we see it as a belief, belief system. If we see church as a belief system, wouldn't it be great for the enemy to make us think it was some walls and some buildings and some steeples like we've been believing? Huh? And then there's no power? Let me tell you something. If the enemy really thought that all the power was in the church on Sunday morning, he'd be trying to blow up everything. He was like, man, y'all go ahead to church. While y'all at church, I'm going to be at your house taking everything out of there. That's how the thieves be. Y'all got to watch it too. When thieves be trying to watch you, see what time you go to church, you go to church on clockwork. Oh, she leave at 8 something every Sunday. All right. So I got about 2 hours because they church, they watching online. I see her, she's still in her seat. All right. Because the thief coming out before the... So a good thief, I'm not saying don't go to church. A good thief want to keep you in a certain place. Because I can always put my finger on you. If I can get you to act, if I get you to act a certain way, then I already know what your go-to going to be. I used to play ball, and I had the homeboy's left hand. He left-handed. And he's good with his left hand, but he's left-handed. That's it. That right hand, he get a little crazy with it. Like, he start losing the ball. But the left hand, he goes, so we learn. Come on, fellas, we play ball. We learn to play him to his right. If he right here, I got to make him go that way. Make him dribble. He can't go here with the left hand. No, I got to make him go that way. Right? And if I make him go that way, majority of the time, I'm going to steal the ball. He can't shoot with that other hand. And I took half his body away. I took all his function away because he hadn't learned how to. Are y'all getting me? And so what the enemy does, he playing you to your weak hand. I know your moves already. I already know your go-to. You're going to cry. This is what you're going to do. You're going to cry first. Then you're going to pray in the Holy Spirit real hard. And then when you don't feel nothing, you're going to pray in the Holy Spirit real hard about 15 minutes with the crying. When you don't feel anything, you're going to turn on Fred Hammond or Elevation or whatever your worship is and worship your way through the problem. Y'all ain't trying to hit me, man. Then you're going to worship your way through the problem, and then you're going to try to read a couple scriptures on it. Then you're going to call somebody. You call somebody, and then you're going to ask them to pray for you, and then you're going to believe you received it. And if it don't happen in the next couple days, then you're going to bring it up a little higher. Then somebody's going to agree with you. Then you're going to sow another big seed for that one because he know your go-to already. Where is, are you ready for my next thing? I can't hear you. Where is the mystery?
Wow.
Yeah. I learned this from my apostle. He's talking the other day. He said, you know, we got a lot of parables, and those are good. And we got a lot of stories, and those are good, but where's the mystery? Now, what you don't realize is you are the mystery. Say, I am. The mystery. Come on, say, I am. The mystery. You know the Bible talking about you when you pray in the Holy Spirit, you speak mysteries? Talking about you speaking yourself out.
Yeah.
You speaking you. You are. You're speaking you.
Yeah.
You're speaking you into existence. And the next thing you saw, the Jews said, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. Oh, don't that make sense now? Don't that go together now? Yeah. Praying in the...
Oh,
bro. So you're speaking your most holy faith. The most holy mystery that you are. See, if I could figure you out, then I figured you out. You're not going to ever beat me. But see, here's Jesus, and he began to do miracles, but you don't know what miracle he's going to do, and you don't know how he's going to do it. Spit in the dirt and tell a man, go wash. I'll give you another one. Can I give you another one real quick? This is the concept of church. All right, because we're going to Matthew 6 in a minute. All right, now this is the concept. It's all scripture. Watch this. You remember the story about the centurion? Now, whether y'all know it or not, Jesus was having church. Jesus' whole life was church. Well, you say, well, watch this. This is what we like to do. We say, oh, well, Jesus went into the streets. Where the streets at? Where they at? Where they at? Where them streets that everybody be talking about? Which ones is the real streets? Right? Because I came on a street on the way over here. Well, Jesus wasn't in the four walls. Well, you was at your house. Your house is four walls, too. So you got a problem with four walls? No, you don't have a problem with four walls. See, we pick here and there. No, it's always I am. Come on, say always I am.
Always,
always I am.
Always.
Come on, say always I am.
Always.
See the concept. It's church unusual. See the concept of church unusual. Are y'all getting it?
Yes, sir.
It's not the step. And God bless all of that, but it's the being. Are y'all with me? So I was going somewhere. What was I telling y'all? Huh? Centurion. Thanks. So now the centurion. Y'all know the story about the centurion, right? Centurion said, come and hear my servant. My servant is sorry about to die. Like, come get Jesus. Come, send a message, go get Jesus. Come and heal my servant. Jesus said, all right, because they said the centurion, you got to do some research. The centurion was a friend of the church. He helped build a temple. So he's a friend of the church. Jesus said, okay, I'm on my way. Right? He's on the way. He sent a message back. He said, no. No, tell him he ain't got to come over here. Huh? He said, just speak the word only. And my servant. We'll be here. He said, because I'm a man in authority. I tell one go, he go. And one come this way. So I understand how this goes. Just speak the word. Just speak the word only. Remember now, Jesus is already on his way. Jesus already made his mind to walk down those roads. To go down to healing. No. You don't have to do that. Speak the word only. My servant be healed. I ain't seen such great faith. No, not all in Israel. I ain't never seen no faith like this. Well, you know, we get church eyes and we go back to the car and we sit like ain't nothing amazing happened and you don't see yourself. But here now, here's what you got to understand. Before then, every miracle and healing happened had to have a hand lay on you. So now, the concept, the faith and the belief in the concept, this centurion who wasn't even a part of the temple had enough faith in the concept of what was going on. And as Jesus, as a church, and the power of what it was, they speak the word only. And he changed God's mind on how he was going to do it. Remember, Jesus was on his way. Jesus had made a decision to come down there and lay hands. And he decided. Who decided? The centurion decided. Listen, the centurion decided, you know, I believe a little bit further than this. You ain't got to come all the way down here. Just speak the word only, and we can do something different. Now, the centurion allowed the mystery to come about it. It's just a mysterious thing. It's a mysterious thing for you to say you speak the word only because we hadn't seen it like this. Nobody's seen it like this. When Jesus started talking, he said, we ain't never heard a man talk like this. Well, he speaks with such power and authority. He called himself the Son of God. It's the mystery. See, there's not enough mystery. Everybody know your story already. They know how you're going to clap. The whole section going to rock like this when the song come on. Everybody shout. We know the moves already. But the devil been knowing your moves for years. How long do you think he been sitting up in church building? I don't know if y'all was at the meeting. It was beginning of the year at Pastor Collins Church. Money come to you conference. And the pastor said he saw the demon. You remember that? Some of y'all remember that. And he said, you sit there laying on the pulpit. That's what he been doing. She said, well, no, not in my anointed church. I'm not saying nobody in church ain't anointed, but I know the tricks of the enemy.
Right?
He's just laying there. And he laying down because he ain't got to get up. He ain't got to get up and fight nobody. For what? He's chilling. I got y'all. I know what you're going to do. I already got you figured out. You're going to shout a couple times and that's a wrap. Where's the mystery? I am the mystery. But see, you got to dig deep. Huh? You got to change your mindset. Let this mind be in you. It's a mysterious mind. You'll never know what's going to happen. Never know what the plan is. You get it? Because if I call my plays well out on the big speaker, then they know which way I'm running. You know I'm about to throw the ball to number 82. Mystery. So, yeah, it is. Amen. So, there's only two times in the gospel, I saw saying the gospel, church was only used two times in the gospel. And Jesus only said it twice. It was only used two times in the whole gospel, the word church. Right? And I think that we missed the concept. It was used a bunch of times after that. Right? And God bless it, but we missed the concept. And once again, let me say this. Nothing wrong with congregating like we do. Nothing wrong with us singing. Nothing wrong with being ushers. Nothing wrong with being all the things, but there's nothing wrong with it. It becomes a problem when you're relying on that as your source of power. Well, I'm a usher at the church, so I'm a usher at the church, so Satan, I bind you. Jesus, I know. I don't know. Well, who? Who the hell? Right. Who are you? Well, they can say, Jesus said they're going to be a bunch of them and say, Lord, Lord, I cast out demons in me. He said, I ain't never knew you. I never knew you. Hold on. I was never intimate. You know, knowing in the Bible was some intimacy. I never knew you. Lord, 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 Lord. I don't know you, though. You and I have nothing in common. Two times. It's said three times, but it's in two different places. In Matthew 16, verse 18, and let me go back. Let me go to verse chapter 18, verse 17. I just read the scripture, and he's talking about if a brother offends you, or if he sin against you, or different things of that nature, trespassing brother. And he said, if he shall neglect, let me go to verse 15, 18, 15. He said, moreover, if my brother trespasses against thee, go tell him his fault between thee and him alone. And if he hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. Y'all seeing that? But if he will not hear thee, then take thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. You've seen that before, right? Right? Then verse 17, and if you neglect to hear them, tell it to the church. But if you neglect to hear the church, let him be as the heathen, as a man, a publican. For I say to you, whether you bound on earth, should be bound in heaven, or loose on earth, should be loose in heaven. Again, I say to you, that if two of you should agree on touching anything they should ask, it should be done for them, my Father, which is in heaven. For there two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst. It's talking about a gathering. If you look up the real word, the original Greek word of church comes from the word ecclesia. It really means just a gathering. It's talking about gathering, like a bunch of people gathered together. There's a concept and a gathering. We've all gathered on the same Now we do it. We're doing it. We're attempting to do it now. At what time on Sunday? Come on, I'm not playing. I'm not playing you now. All right. We're attempting to do it, but we're so caught up on the religion of it that we forget it on Monday. You get it? We're so caught up on the inside of the walls and how it looks inside of there that we don't realize that it should look the same way out here. I'm not talking about you wearing your suit. I'm not talking about your street evangelism. What is that? What is street evangelism? Y'all get what I'm saying? I'm breaking concept. What is this? What are these things that we didn't name this? And I understand. Don't knock me. I'm just saying I understand, but just go. Go and be. He says, this is one, so that's time he was talking about that, but I used the concept of church here from the concept that he used in chapter 16. And we read this one before. In verse 5, when disciples come to the other side, they have forgotten to take the bread. God doggone disciples, forgot the bread. I ain't gonna play them because I done forgot some stuff on some trips for apostles, so amen. Then he said to them, take need, be aware of the 11 Pharisees and Sadducees, and they reason among themselves, saying, because we are taking no bread where Jesus perceived. Oh, you little faith, why are you reasoning among yourselves? Because you have brought no bread. Do you not understand? Neither remember the five loaves or the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up. He kept on trying to remind them, what y'all fussing about bread for? Just bring a crumb, please. Bring a crumb and we'll all eat. Neither 7 loaves and 4,000, how many baskets you took, how is that you do not understand? I speak it not to you concerning the bread, that you beware of leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He's talking about of the normal way of thinking. Be aware of partaking, of eating, of the normal way of thinking that they think. Be aware of the religion and the tradition. Be aware of the normal way of doing things, because if you function in the normal way of doing things, you'll never be like me. That's what Jesus is saying. All right. Then understood they how he bade them not to beware of leaven of the bread, but of the doctrine. You see that? You see that? Of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Verse 18, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked the disciples, saying, whom do men say that I am? Now remember, when Jesus asks a question, he doesn't have to ask you a question. Whenever he asks you a question, he's involving you. See, I ask you a question. God speaks to me like that sometimes. He'll ask me something. And the reason that he'll ask me, apostles speak to me like that sometimes. He'll come in and be like, you know, so what's the greatest way to get the Spirit to work? And I think of a million and one ways that could be a good answer. And I say, well, nope, that ain't it. And it's like, well, I'm shooting in the dark. I don't know which one out of the million. But I found out, I used to get angry. I'm like, man, why? So I used to get quiet. I'd be like, thou knowest. You know what I'm saying? Like, and that's a good answer, too. That's a good answer, too. But I realized what he was doing. And I started doing it with my friends, and I was becoming an aggravating person, like, doing that. But then I realized what was going on, because if I just tell you the answer, then I'm not sure you can be the answer. Like, I'm not sure you get it if I tell it to you. That's why tests come. That's why you're, like, in school and you got to take a test, because I'm not sure you got a grip on it. If I just take the test for you and give you the A's, I'm not quite sure you're going to be able to make it without me. You get it? So he says, so Jesus asked him. He's trying to involve you because he's asking you a question so he can get the answer out of you. So he can get you to say who you are. See, he asks, who do men say that I am? But he said, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? He's really trying to get you to say who you are, though. You a son of man, ain't you? Yeah. Answer me. Yeah. You a son of man, ain't you? Yes, sir. Are you a son of man? Yes, sir. I know you a son of God. We ain't jumping around. You a son of man, ain't you?
Yes, sir.
Oh. You a son of man. Then he said, some said thou art John the Baptist. Some Elias, another Jeremiah, another one of the prophets. He said, but whom say you that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, Son of the living God. And Jesus answered, said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not what? So something revealed means something was hidden. If something was revealed, that means it was something that wasn't in plain sight. If something was revealed, that means there was a mystery there. See, the person of who you really are is a mystery. It's something that you say, well, I know myself. No, you don't. I know, no, you don't. I know. If you don't know who I am, then you don't know who I am. You get it? See, Jesus is your identity. Christ is your true identity. I don't care what, how your mom and them raised you and where you came from and how you talk and the slang and all that and what you like to do, what you traditional on the holidays and how you feel about this and how you feel about that and who didn't tell you they love you and who told you they love you too much and all these different things and why you didn't act like this. And why. Nobody don't care about all that. Drop it. If you get your identity from somewhere else, you're trying to fix a broken thing. It's not meant to be fixed. That's meant to be broken and done away with. All of that. See that? All of that we done picked up. No, we got new blood. Huh? Yes, we got new blood. So that's old things. Now they become new. You get it? So Christ is your personality. So now he's really asking you who you are. Because if you don't know me, you don't know you. If you can't recognize me, you'll never recognize yourself. For flesh and blood has not revealed this mystery unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art, y'all know, you remember my revelation, right? And you too, Peter, you too, you Christ too. And upon this rock I will build my, now I can't, what are we talking about now? What are we talking about? Upon this rock, I got a couple minutes. Upon this rock, I will build my church. And then it says the gates of hell will not prevail. And one of the things, that a characteristic of a church is that it's mobile. A characteristic of church is that it's mobile. A characteristic of church is that it's mobile. Because if the gates can't prevail, that means you done walked up to some gates, but they're not going to keep you out of them. Right? So now it's mobile. So when you ain't picking the building up. But he said, upon this rock, I'll build my church. Upon this revelation and this mystery, will I build the concept of this whole thing. And then as you leave with the same mindset and concept and same function and same belief system and same being of who you are, the gates of hell shall not prevail against. Get it? Come on, the concept. See, not another, because I can't even, I don't understand how I can build a rock, but he's not talking about a regular rock, though. Right. So if he's not talking about a regular rock, he's not talking about a regular building. You know you are building, right? My body is a, you think, don't touch me, I'm a whole, no, she's trying to tell you who you are. Right. My body is a temple. You're carrying around something bigger than you. Right? You see what I'm saying? You're carrying it around.
Yeah.
You are carrying the concept. You when Mary conceived in her belly. Conceived, concept. She conceived Jesus. Are you conceiving? In order to conceive a fresh concept of church. And what Jesus really means, you got to crack that old concept.
Right.
And the only way you're going to crack the old concept is by keep chiseling away at it every day. And stop adding stuff to it to keep fortifying the old concept you got. Are y'all understanding what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But there is, upon this, upon the concept of Christ, right? The anointed one in is anointed. We know that, right?
Right.
Upon this concept, I will build you. Upon this, right? Upon this understanding, upon this wisdom, upon this being, I'm going to build you. And then nothing is going to be able to withstand you. You get it? So you're really not supposed to be coming on Sundays and on midweek to try to have, you be bringing church to the building. Y'all get what I'm saying? And then when the congregation comes together, it becomes a special place. Because we're all conceived in the same place. Got the same concepts. Y'all get what I'm saying? And then we still have the same concepts whenever we're away from each other. Because we're never away from each other because we want. Y'all get it? Amen.